So isn't that neat? Little boy, trusting his father, who said, you can write that thing. I know you can do it. Not even 2 years old properly. Dad says you can do it. And you don't have to worry. You won't fall. You're not going to get hurt. Because I'm going to be there right next to you. And I'll catch you before anything happens. And little buddy boy trusts his father. Why? Because it's his father. And in this series, as we talk about breaking strongholds, that's what we're talking about. Because as we talk about breaking strongholds, we're saying as we break them, we move more and more into God's promised land for us. In other words, when we use the word promised land, we're not talking about Canaan. We are talking about that place where I can become the person that God intended me to be and where God provides for me in all of God's abundance. That to live in the promised land begins with two words. Trust and faith in our heavenly Father. I'll give you an example. If there is no trust, we are right back in the wilderness. Just think of the wilderness time again for a second. We don't want to be there. They didn't trust God for food. They didn't trust God for water. They didn't trust God when he says, move in, I'll take care of you. What happened to them? They died in the desert. And they never saw the promised land because there was no trust, although God proved himself. There was no faith, despite the fact that God proved himself. And that generation didn't see the promised land. But when there is trust and faith, what did we see in Joshua? A river dries up, and they can walk through. A huge fortress just crumbles, and the walls come down because of trust and faith. Those big rocks that were in their way to get into the promised land became stepping stones into the land that promised where God would give. And this is the story that we see here until in the book of Joshua, we come up against that big red-letter word called but. And I might just do a series for you on the biblical buts. And they are big. All the biblical buts are big. So I'm going to read with you, and I'm going to do them little by little. To help us with this, we're going to start in Joshua 6, verse 27. It starts with a beautiful word. Not a but a so. So the Lord was with Joshua. And Joshua's reputation spread throughout the land. Unfortunately, the so is followed by a but in verse 1 of chapter 7. But Israel. So the Lord, and then there's a good reputation. But Israel. Israel violated the instructions about the things set apart for the Lord. A man named Achan had stolen some of these dedicated things. So the Lord was very angry with the Israelites. Achan was the son of Carmi, a descendant of Zimri, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah. Let me give you a little background about what's going on in this. Last week in chapter 6, I specifically didn't read two verses because we didn't read them. Let me tell you about those verses, verse 18 and verse 19. When they went into Jericho to take the city, God said, when you go into the city, there's something that you are not allowed to do. Leave the stuff alone. And then he named the stuff, the gold, the silver, the coins, the bronze, the steel, all the shiny stuff. You need to burn that as a sacrifice to me. In the Hebrew, it's called korban. It means it's all given to the Lord. Leave the stuff alone, says the Lord. But we reason he says that, and I'm going to show that to you in a second, it's not because God needed the stuff. Isn't it because God was being selfish and keeping things for himself? Because God wanted to teach them that in this promised land, they needed to trust God and have faith in God to provide for them. God and God alone. Not to rely on their strength or their abilities or their stuff or their resources. But God is enough. Do you get where I'm going? To live in the promised land, we need to rely on God. That takes trust and that takes faith. But why does God say, don't touch the stuff? What's so important about not touching the stuff? Here's the thing. God wanted them to learn that God, in the promised land, is the only source of blessing. And in the promised land, God will give all and everything I need and even more than I need. God says, don't touch the stuff. Because God knows that the moment they touch the stuff and they start gathering the treasure, God knows that the treasure will become more important than God, and they will stop trusting God and they will start trusting their treasure. Does that ring a bell? Do we know anything about that? Well, Achan is the one who will prove this point for us this morning. So let me read you a little something before I read. Let me tell you this little intro first. So, they cross the river Jordan. They go to Jericho. God lets the walls crumble. They're full of confidence. Joshua, we just read, has a wonderful reputation all of a sudden. He's this big warrior, although he's done nothing except trust God and faith in God. But something happens with Joshua, too. Joshua, for a second, and we're going to talk about this next week. Joshua, for a second, it seems, it just goes to his head for a moment. And Joshua does not talk to God. Joshua does not think this through. And just a few kilometers north of Jericho is another little town that they will go have to go through before they can get to the promised land. And Joshua decides, I know exactly what to do. I will trust in my stuff. And Joshua sends 3,000 soldiers to go take care of Ai. Now listen what happens when you move your trust. Verse 4, chapter 7. So approximately 3,000 warriors were sent. And there is a biblical but they were soundly defeated. The men of Ai chased the Israelites from the town gates as far as the quarries, and they killed about 36 who were retreating down the slope. And the Israelites were paralyzed with fear at this turn of events, and their courage melted away. Where was the trust? In the soldiers. And what happened when they trusted in their stuff? In the soldiers. They were paralyzed with fear, and their courage melted away. Because they were building not on a solid rock. They were building on a foundation of sand. And Joshua, the man with the reputation, Joshua has a complete meltdown. And Joshua prays the prayer of the wilderness. Listen to Joshua's prayer, verse 7. Then Joshua cried out, O sovereign Lord, why did you bring us across the Jordan River if you are going to let the Amorites kill us? Can you remember this prayer in the wilderness?
Why did you bring us out of Egypt to come and die here in the desert? We had pots full of meat and we were just slaves there. Same prayer. And then the second part of that. If only we had been content to stay on the other side. Oh, if only we had stayed in Egypt, they would only kill our children and kill all of us, but that would be okay. It's exact prayer of the wilderness. It's not a promised land prayer. And what happens to Joshua? Joshua loses his faith, because what did Joshua do? Joshua put his trust in the soldiers, in his stuff. And the moment he put his faith in his stuff and he trusted his stuff, it all came tumbling down. Don't trust the stuff, whatever that might be. It doesn't kill for us. There's only one who kills. He's faithful. Even when we were in the wilderness and we were unfaithful, he proved himself faithful. In the promised land, God said, "Do you trust me? It's going to be Jericho. Trust me. There'll be Jordan. Trust me. There'll be difficulties. Trust me. You can ride that little bike, bud boy." It's why Joshua, not trusting and being unfaithful, God is faithful. So God says, "I'm going to tell you why this happened." Read with me verse 11. God said, "Israel has sinned and broken my covenant. They've stolen some of the things that I commanded must be set apart for me. And they've not only stolen them, but they've lied about it and hidden the things among their own belongings. That's why the Israelites are running from their enemies in defeat. They have broken my covenant. They have stolen from me. And they have hidden this." Isn't this what the stuff always does? We hide them in the little closets. And we take them out and we'll just drop their heads and we'll put them away. What are we saying to God? "I trust the stuff. I don't trust you." God says, "There's a poisonous apple amongst my people, and that poison is going through all my people, and it will bring them all down, and they will not be able to reap the fruit of the promised land. Because how can I bless you if you don't want to take my blessings? How can I take you and carry you if you turn your back and go jump on the back of the stuff?" What is your question? What is your faith? So they go through the camp, and at last they come to this guy, Achan, and Achan says, "I got to confess, I took some of the stuff." And you see, my friends, it happens so quickly, like this, that movement from God to stuff. It takes a moment. Letting go and thinking, "I'm okay. I can do this on my own. I'm okay. I need God to walk." And I can see how this happens. So they walk into Jericho through all of the stuff, and Achan looks around. But let him tell you himself what happened to him. Verse 21. "Among the plunder," says Achan, "I saw," listen for 3 weeks, "a beautiful robe from Babylon, 200 silver coins, and a bar of gold weighing more than a pound, and I wanted them." That's NIV you have on there. I'm reading New Living. "I wanted them so much that I took them." I saw, I wanted, I took. Kind of sounds like really, really dicky. I saw, I wanted, I took. And where did that end?
my fist to the people of Israel, and I could see him.
Why he did that, I don't know. But what I do know is this. Achan did not trust God. Achan did not trust in God's wisdom that God knows the best for me. Achan did not trust that God would provide for him and his for his family all that they needed. And Achan decided, I saw, I wanted, and I took, because then I can trust in myself, because I now have a robe, and I now have gold, and I now have silver, and with all of that, I'll be good. And he wasn't good. Can you remember what happened to Achan and his family? They all died in the valley of Achor. And they put stones on them as a reminder that they did not trust in the Lord and faith in God's promise. Does it remind you of another story? Anyone? Can I tell you the story again? There was a man and a woman. And God put them in this most beautiful place. And God said, all of this belongs to you. It's all yours. I will care for you. I will provide for you. Right in the middle, there's a tree. Leave that alone room for now. It's fine. Later, you'll get to know. Just leave it be. And then there was a moment where someone deceived. And he says to the woman, see that tree, and she saw the fruit. And he said, do you see the fruit on the tree? She saw the fruit on the tree. And she looked at the fruit again, and she saw that it would be good to eat. And she wanted it. And she took it. And what was the end of that? We all know it is good. I saw and wanted. Where's the place? Is it with God? Or is it in the stuff? Because the first, I can walk with God and he can say, get on that little bicycle. You can do it. And I can say, yeah, but what if I fall? And he can say, trust. The first, I can walk. And he'll say, I'll hold your hand, and I'll get you through all of it. But what if... I can place my family in God's hands and say, Lord, I'm sure, and God will say, because that's what happens in the promised land. It's called the land of promise. God keeps his promise. So it's time for us to get on a little bit and to trust that Father and say, I'm there. Walk with me. Father, come to me. Thank you that you trust us. You trust us that we will hear your voice and that we will listen to your voice. You trust us so much that you give the gift of your gospel and you put that into us. And you say, go show that gospel, go live that gospel, go live as people in the promised land, so that the world might see the light. The world might taste the sun of the world. Help us then to trust when you tell us that you will carry us, that you will provide for us, that you will take care of us, that you will protect us. Help us to have faith in it, even if it's as small as that little mustard seed. Not to see the shininess of the stuff, but to see the glory of the one who has been faithful even though we have been so unfaithful so often. Thank you for not giving up on us. Even when we turn away from you and try to hide and mess it up, you come back and you look for us. Thank you for keeping us. Help us to live this promised land. To live according to what you have made us to be. Thank you that as we walk through you, you change us. Thank you for the blessing that we have made again this week. We pray in Jesus' name.
Be still, there is a healer. His love is deeper than the sea. His mercy is unfailing. His arms a fortress for the weak. Let faith arise. Let faith arise. I lift my hands to believe again. You are my refuge, you are my strength. As I pour out my heart, these things I remember. You are faithful, God, forever. Still, there is a river that flows from Calvary's tree, a fountain for the thirsty, your grace that washes over me. Let faith arise, let faith arise. My refuge, you are my strength. As I pour out my heart, these things I remember. You are faithful, God, forever. I lift my hands to believe again. You are my refuge, you are my strength. As I pour out my heart, these things I remember. You are faithful, God, forever. Let faith arise, let faith arise. Open my eyes, open my eyes. Let faith arise, let faith arise. Open my eyes. I lift my hands to believe again. You are my refuge, you are my strength. As I pour out my heart, these things I remember. You are faithful, God, forever. I lift my hands to believe again. You are my refuge, my strength. As I pour out my heart, these things I remember. You are faithful, God. You're faithful, Let faith arise.